All right. Yeah. Last of the trilogy of the series, Blessed to Bless. All right. Who has attended the first two? Oh, not many. Oh, okay. All right. Well, you're in for a treat because this one is about marriage. And we know how fun marriage is. No. All right. Marriage is fun. There's a lot of jokes about marriage. Agree? You don't find a lot of jokes about single people or about parents or about kids, but you really do find a lot of things about marriage. Have you heard about the man who was at the bar? Oh, he was looking so sad. And the bartender asked him, "Why are you so depressed?" He said, "Well, I had a fight with my wife. She kicked me out for a whole month." And the bartender said, "Oh, man, that is great. You have peace and quiet for a whole month to drink here." And then the man said, "Yeah, but today is the last day." It's very cliche, huh? Blessing can come in disguise. You know, he said it's a blessing in disguise to get kicked out. Anyway, there is also this cliche, you know, all you have to do is sneeze and somebody will say, "Bless you." You see, Jacob, he didn't even have to go through all that elaborate plan to trick his brother Esau. All he had to do was to go up to Isaac, his dad, and say, "Achoo!" And what would the dad say? "Bless you, Jacob." Then he would have gotten his blessing. Isn't that right? Oh, you didn't get that one. Later on, it'll come to you. You'll get it later, I promise you. All right, let's pray before we get too crazy. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We know it's powerful. We know it's good when it goes out. It does not return empty. It goes out and it's going to bring life. Lord, it's going to take root and it's going to bear much fruit. There is so much power in your word. Father, we want to look into it and see what it is that we can draw from it so that it's beneficial for us, for our life, for everything that we do and go through. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we hear a lot of statements like, "I'm marrying the man of my dreams. I feel so blessed." You heard that? Yeah. Or, "We're moving into our dream house. We feel so blessed." Or, "Oh, look at that family. All those successful children and healthy children. They must feel so blessed." Hey, but what happens if you haven't found the man or the woman, huh? What happens, you know, if you can't even afford to buy a house, let alone a dream house? And what happens if someone in the family is sick, like Mr. Ng, you know? And then you know, your work in school, your school, your college, or your work, nothing is turning out just the way you want it. There is also more months than money left, you know? I mean, does that mean that you're not blessed? You don't feel blessed? Does that mean that you're not blessed? So, excuse me. This week in our live group, we talked about how we honor, remember last week's message, how we honor, how we engage, and how we serve our old parents. But they're more than a pain than they are pleasure, to be honest. I mean, it's really not fun looking after old people because they do tend to, you know, whine a little bit. Truth be told, we don't feel blessed even though we're doing the right thing. I didn't run to KL. I drove to KL in such a hurry because my grandson was admitted to the hospital. And so he had a horrible virus that turned into something called RSV, and then it became pneumonia. So it was really, really, really horrible. So I'm, you know, super grandma. And I sent my son and my daughter-in-law, you know, home. Go sleep. Grandma is here. Ta-da. I'm in charge. And I'm doing the right thing. Guess what? I got there, and I was sick as a dog. Oh, my gosh. I started coughing, and I was so sick. And grandson was about to get discharged on Friday, so I had to leave by Friday. Yeah, because otherwise I might pass on to him what I got from Penang. Obviously, I got something from Penang. So I was like, no, I'm getting out. So 5:30 Friday morning, I was driving back. Oh my gosh, do you know from KL to Ipoh there are no lights on a highway? I cannot deal with that. It was so hard, and I was high as a kite, man. I was coughing, and it was hard. I was medicated, you know, Panadol after Panadol. Anyway, it was hard. And then when it got bright, I was like, yes, this is good. But then I was like, I kept falling asleep on the wheel. Do you know how scary that is? Yes, it is very scary. Because I'm like, Jesus, it's not my time. You cannot take me. I have to preach on Sunday. I cannot die on the wheel today. You know, so I was like, in Jesus' name, you know, God is greater in me. So I was like, ah, stay awake, man, stay awake. I was like slapping myself, and I turned on a techno music. I was like doing this and just trying to stay awake. But you know, even then, split second, you just switch off. When I arrived, 9 a.m., first thing I did, change, jump into bed. I slept 27 hours. Do you know it's possible to sleep 27 hours? Because I say, God, I cannot do this. I need to rest. But see, 27 hours sleep, huh? This is what you get. Do I feel blessed? So we did singles, and Isaac said in Genesis 12:2, that I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. That's what Isaac said. And then Casey came to preach about, you know, the blessedness of being parents and children, and he said from Acts 3:25, through your offspring, all peoples on earth will be blessed. Today, with absolute certainty, beyond a shadow of doubt, I'm going to talk about who are blessed. Whether you feel it or not, who are blessed? Who? Are you blessed? Am I blessed when things are not looking right? Does that mean we've lost our blessing? Huh? Does that mean that if I'm sick, I'm not blessed anymore? Okay, let's look at the Word of God. I'm going to bring to you, my family. Yes, just in case, you know, you think I have no credibility to talk about marriage. I've been married to this man nearly 40 years. That's quite a long time, isn't it? And I only look 41. Ha! So that's my son. It was his wedding day, my daughter-in-law, Cindy, and that's my baby girl. Yeah, that's my family. Okay, so I do have credibility to talk about marriage. Yes, I've been married so long. I've been married to many different men, but it's one husband, because they change all the time. You know, I'm telling you, you ask any woman around you, does your husband change? Oh, yeah. You see, I got support here. Thank you very much. Now, why do I say beyond a shadow of doubt, I'm very confident that we are blessed? I've got 3 points in this message. First, the pronouncement, then the purpose, and finally, the pattern for it. Okay, so the pronouncement, and it comes from Ephesians. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Look at that. Who is the one praising us? Sorry. Who is the one blessing us? God, Father of Jesus Christ, right? Who has blessed us? Who is us? What it says here? In Christ. Those who are in Christ. And bless us with what? And it's every spiritual blessing. Come on, say it with me. Every spiritual blessing. Isn't that great? It's not just some spiritual blessing. It's not just, if you're an older Christian, you get more blessing. No, it is every spiritual blessing. If you're in Christ, you get this, okay? So that's why with absolute certainty, I like to share with you that we are blessed, and that is how it is. So, again, we have to, okay, next slide. Oh, come on, April, wake up. Salvation, okay. When we accept Christ as salvation, right? Salvation is an event. Okay, now there is a difference between salvation and sanctification. Salvation is an event. You're saved from the penalty of sin, for sure. You accept Christ into your heart. You don't have to go through the penalty of death and sin, okay? Now, sanctification is a process. Now, we get saved, and we have to go through this process of becoming more and more like Christ. So, we're saved from the power of sin. Do you understand the bigness of that? Bigness? Okay. Power of sin. Okay, so we still live in this world, and there is still all kinds of funky things going around in this world that can affect us. There are temptations, there are all kinds of powerful, sinful things, but sanctification, when we go through the process, we are saved from the power of sin. Why do I say that? We are so blessed with supernatural endowment. The blessing of God comes in such a funny way, you know, like, we just wonder, it says in heavenly realm, but hello, dude, I'm earth, on earth. How am I going to get this? Or how do I even reach this heavenly blessings in heavenly realm? How, right? Do you think that? I think sometimes it just makes us go, why are you so spiritual and I'm not? Does that mean I'm not going to ever feel the blessings of God? No, it's very clear. Blessed, we are blessed when we're in Christ. So walk in Christ. It's not enough just to know of Christ. Satan knows Christ. Is he blessed? No. I can guarantee you Satan is not blessed. He knows Christ. So it's not about knowing Christ. It's about being in him, in Christ. Okay, so we're blessed with supernatural endowment. Endowment is like inheritance. You have it. It's given to you to prosper in every area in life. We all need to prosper in every area in life. And that's the intention of God, that we have life and have it to the fullest. We're also blessed with supernatural empowerment to succeed. See, like yesterday, Friday when I was driving back, I needed the power of God to succeed that journey. It is so scary. And I tell you, if it's not for God, I don't know what I would do. I mean, seriously, like what Nat was saying just now, how do we do life without God? It is so hard. I had God, and I was very comforted, and it's real. It is real. If you know how to tap in, because God has given. The reason why we haven't received is because possibly we have not really walked in Christ. Because when we're walking in Christ, we will receive it. Okay, so the one who is in Christ and not the one who knows Christ is the one who is blessed with every spiritual blessing. All right, so no matter what we have or have not received on earth, whether we feel it or not, we need to see ourselves as God sees us. Do you see yourself as the way God sees you? Probably not sometimes. Honestly, sometimes we look in the mirror and we're like so critical of ourselves. And we look at ourselves and like, we're not like this. We're not so good like that. Like sometimes I look at myself and I'm like, you're not going to be able to preach like your husband. For sure I'm not. But that's okay. Because I see God, I see myself the way God sees me. We're forgiven. We're chosen. We are unconditionally accepted. Isn't that great? If you know this beyond a shadow of doubt that you are so chosen, so loved, so forgiven, this is amazing. You can walk straight and walk tall and do whatever it is that you need to do and feel the comfort of the Lord. He is beside you, around you, like what we sang earlier. He's all around us, right? And we're never going to let go. And so he's given us every spiritual blessing and nothing to do with how good you are. So if you think, oh, if I was only good enough, you know, I'm going to get more blessing from God. Oh, God, I promise you I'll be good this year. It's not like that. It's got nothing to do with what we do or how we can earn that kind of blessing. So, again, spiritual realm, yes, but how do we get it in the earthly realm? Okay, there is a purpose, you know. I'm going to do something here. See, it's very fun. When we have, object lessons. Okay, there is a purpose. We all need purpose. We all seek for purpose. KC is always coaching people, the CEOs, the CFOs, the COOs. They all ask about purpose in life. Why do I do what I do? Why am I doing what I'm doing? What is the reason for my existence? But have we ever stopped to think about what God's purpose is? God, the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, the creator of the universe. What is his purpose? What is the big idea? Why would such a being, what would such a being want? All right, in Timothy, it says, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given to us in Christ. We have in Christ again. We don't have to do anything. He's given to us. And there's a purpose. Before the beginning of time, from the beginning, we were chosen. We are so blessed. Can you tell yourself you're so blessed? You are so blessed. I am so blessed. It doesn't matter what happens around you. We are blessed because the Lord says so. Amen? Okay. This is a glove. This is an occupational hazard. When you're married to a man, you have to make things very obvious. This is a glove. That's a joke. Dang. This is a hard crowd. I might not preach again. Okay, so the glove is made in the image and the likeness of a human hand, right? And so there is a specific and a unique purpose to a glove. It is possible that one would use the glove as an artistic thing, you know, showcase. Wow, very artistic. It is also possible that we can use a glove to contain candy, you know, as a giveaways. It's very possible. But we know that the original and the intended purpose of a glove is for the hand, right? No, it was made for the unique purpose to contain the hand, to contain the hand. All right. Now, I'm going to park it right there. In a while, you will understand why I'm saying this. So let's talk about the whole body now. We have a body. This is our physical body. The body is created, so it's here to contact the physical things so that it can contain the physical thing. Now, we have a soul. We have a soul, yes. The soul is made up of our mind, our will, our emotion, and our will. We think, we feel, and we make decisions. That's our soul. It is created to contact and to contain the psychological world, okay? The psychological realm. So the body, the soul, and then we have a spirit. A spirit. Now, this is where it gets really nice. It'll all make sense to you. The spirit was created by God to contact and contain the things of the spiritual realm. You understand how important this is? Because when God gave us a spirit in Christ and our spirit is alive in Him, wow, we are able to contain the Spirit of God in us, and therefore it can bear much fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? We have so much love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all that and more. Oh my goodness, do you understand how you cannot make fun of things of the spiritual realm? It is so real. We have a spirit to contain and to contact the spiritual realm and in contact with God. Okay, so don't go off script. So what is the purpose of me talking about the glove? We are supposed to, you know, contain God, just like the hand is supposed to contain. The glove contains a hand. The spirit inside us is to contain God. And God has a purpose. It is to express Himself. I love it because Nat said exactly the same thing that I was going to say. It says, in Him we live and move and have our being. How true is that? In Him we live and move and have our being. If we don't have Him, how do we move and live and have our being? It is impossible to have a really substantial, abundant life without God in us. And what else? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So if you are feeling down, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling useless, you're feeling hopeless, oh my goodness, there is freedom. When the Spirit of the Lord is in you, there is freedom. You know that you're never downcast. You're not cast away. You are not condemned. There is so much freedom. And may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. I love this verse. And He will do it. Who's going to do it? He's going to do it. We're not going to do it. He's going to do it. He's amazing. And He's going to do it. All right. The pattern now. Let's go to the third point. So you got the first point. The first point was that there's a proclamation, there is a pronouncement of blessing. We are all blessed if we are in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. We've been given, so we receive it. And we receive it, and there is a purpose. The purpose is that we express God. We are able to express everything that God is in our spirit. And the pattern is, okay, this is a fun bit. Some funny teachings have come into church. I told you this is about marriage, right? These funny teachings. Okay, this is not true, okay? When they say there's a wedding ring, and then after that, enduring, and then after that, suffering, Not true, okay? Wrong, funny teaching. And they also say, by all means, marry. If you get the right one, you become happy. If you get the wrong one, you become a philosopher. Win-win, okay? And oh, so this one. If love is a dream, then marriage is the alarm clock. Ah. And the secret of a happy marriage remains a secret. No, it's not. Thank God we have God. It's not a secret to a happy marriage, okay? So this is really good. I love it. You know how brides get very nervous when they're preparing to go down the aisle, you know, trying to remember the sequence of everything. So they, okay, remember, walk down the aisle, you stop at the altar, you get the hymn book. Okay, aisle, altar, hymn book. Aisle, altar, hymn. Aisle, altar, hymn. Aisle, altar, hymn. No wonder the groom gets really upset because he's thinking that the bride is trying to alter him. I'll alter him. No, it's the aisle, the altar, and him. You see, I told you, we have to make everything so clear to men. So, funny teaching, but Bible's also funny. It's not just, funny teachings around. Bible is funny. The book of Ecclesiastes, oh, this is funny. Okay, who knows the book of Ecclesiastes? It starts with, life is hard. It is meaningless. It is vanity of all vanities. Life is hard. It ends in chapter 12, then you die. What a life. But somewhere in the middle, chapter 9, verse 9, it says, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of your meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. All your meaningless days, this is your lot in life and in your toilsome labor under the sun. Enjoy your life with your wife. You know, a lot of people read it, endure your life with your wife. Don't do that. Please enjoy your... So my first point is, the first pattern is enjoy life. Enjoy or endure. All the men say, thank you. The wives need encouragement, you know? We don't want to feel like we're always, you know, the one that is being endured. Okay. But then some people will say, oh, you don't know my husband. Not like your Casey. We're not compatible. We didn't have algorithms to, like nowadays there's algorithm that can match you together, you know? It doesn't matter. I mean, Casey and I, we met. It was a blind date, man. It was a blind date. But it's really not how you meet, whether it's booking.com or... Huh? No, not booking.com. Dating.com! Ayo, this fuzzy brain. Dating.com, or it was an arranged marriage or whatever. It doesn't matter how you meet. It's what you do after you've met that counts. Amen? Okay, so you got to enjoy it. It's what you do. And then someone say, "Aiya, there's no chemistry, you know? No spark, no zap." Dude, anything that has spark and zap will burn, okay? You do not want your marriage to burn, okay? So don't talk about compatibility. Don't talk about chemistry. Listen, it's a decision. You decide. You choose to make it fun or not fun. Casey and I have fun our entire married life. People don't believe it when we say, you know, we play hide and seek. But we do. Especially when before we got children, you know. We do play hide and seek. It's kind of crazy. We do fun things. There was one time, and even when things go wrong, it's really quite fun because we think back and then we laugh. We were trying to make kaya, you know, coconut jam. And so we were like, okay, caramel the sugar. You know, sugar is white, so we're caramelling. And then suddenly we realized that, there's more white sugar than there is. The spatula had melted. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, it was so fun. We didn't make kaya, but, you know, we had fun. And every time we think of that, we just laugh. So enjoy. You got to decide to enjoy. Don't blame each other when things go wrong. Come on. Marriage is good. God put two of you together. It is good. What God has put together, let no man set asunder, okay? It's a decision you make. So stay at home and water your own grass. Don't always say, wow, the grass is greener on the other side. You water your own grass. It'll be green. Don't look at other people's grass, okay? All right. So enjoy marriage is a decision. We either decide or we drift. You don't wake up in the morning and you go, I feel like I'm going to drift today. No, it's when you stop deciding to make fun of your to have fun in marriage that you start drifting. All right? When you still know how to enjoy each other, oh boy, the marriage is good. So sometimes couples will say, wow, he's changed. I told you, my husband, I'm married to different men. One husband, many different changes in him. Of course. Why are you so surprised that there are going to be changes? Huh? Well, you get the first loan, there's going to be some changes in the finances. And, you know, you get the first baby. Everything changes. There's always a season of time. So don't be shocked that there are changes. And don't make that an excuse. All right. Now, because, you know, if you're not enjoying each other, the kids will feel it. For sure. The kids will feel it. Have you heard this one? Little girl came to her mommy and said, Mommy, I'm confused. You said we were made in the image of God, but Daddy says we come from monkeys. To which the mother said, oh, honey, I was talking about my side of the family. See, when you're nasty and you're not enjoying each other, the kids are going to catch up on your, you know, sarcasm. And yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Okay, second pattern, emphasize it. Emphasize it. What do I mean? We prioritize marriage. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. All right. Our job is to make sure that our kids, after we have left home and to cling to our wife, our job is to make sure that our kids leave home as adults, not on the journey to become an adult, okay? It's not the job of college to turn your child into an adult. It's not the job of your first employer to turn your child into an adult, okay? We are teaching the kids that the bond between a husband and wife is to be stronger. I know it comes as a shock to some of you. The bond between a husband and wife is supposed to be stronger than the parent and the child. Your children are supposed to leave and cleave. Okay, that's a pattern. So don't get all confused. And then also, you know, don't let the extended family make you choose. No, you prioritize your spouse always. Don't let them tell you, this Chinese New Year, huh? You must be here. Why? Why? Christmas is my time. No, why? You know, it's reunion time. No, it's between you and your spouse to decide what is best. Clear? Okay, pattern. Thirdly, I'm coming to an end. Marriage should be honored, valued, esteemed. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Yeah, God created marriage. You know, it wasn't Adam's idea. Adam just didn't wake up and go, I think I need a wife. No, it was God's idea. Okay? And so he created marriage before he created the church, before he created the school, before he created the state. So that should tell us something, that marriage is a very foundation of family, which is the very foundation of the nation. Oh, that's why there's so much trouble in the nation now, because of the breakdown of the family. So why is there a breakdown in the family? Well, because Satan loves what God hates. He will tear us apart. Satan did not appear in the scene until God made Eve. And it became a marriage. He was nowhere near, nowhere seen until there was a marriage. Did you know that? Good point to learn, yeah? So every time we fight, remember, every time we fight, we're just giving Satan such a good heads up. And we cannot do that. We're here to bless others. We're here to bless the nation. You think a blessed marriage is just a blessed marriage so that you're happy and you go to bed happy and your wife is next to you, your husband is next to you? No. It's that we have a healthier community, we have a healthier nation. And we can impact a lot of people by just having a happy marriage. Is that clear? Yes? Is that good? Christian marriage has quite a dynamic, you know. It is a covenant. It's binding, and it's irrevocable because of his love. So we have the love of God, you know. The purpose for marriage is to be the picture of love. The picture of love. We are to express God through our marriage. We are blessed to bless others, to express that love. And we aren't just blessed, but like I said, we are blessed, and the whole nation can be blessed through us. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have created this union. And you showed it to us yourself, the way you love the church, the way Christ loves the church. We know that there are many difficult marriages around, but we know that marriage is a gift from you. And when we do it according to your word, it can be so glorious. And when we don't do it according to your word, and when we just disregard your word, it can be so disastrous. Father, we have seen too many struggling marriages and way too many divorces, but there have been some good ones too, Lord, that you want us to have. And Lord, even for the singles, that they will find the right one to marry. And more importantly, they will be the right one. For all those married ones here, Father, we pray that you will strengthen this bond that we have. Teach us all to walk in you. Let there be no selfishness in us that would get in the way of enjoying each other, of valuing each other, of prioritizing each other. And Lord, for those struggling in marriage right now, I just want to pray that there is a healing touch upon their lives. When your word enters, oh God, let there be that humility to take a step back and to say, okay, for you, Lord, I will do this. I will say one less word. I will not be cross, but I will express love. I will choose to love. Father, we're so grateful that you're always here for us. As we end this series of being blessed to bless others, we pray that we will receive all that blessing and understand it, that we can be such a blessing to every single person out there. And I pray all this in Jesus' name.